Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this anniversary of January 6th. What's the 5th? I think anniversary today of January 6th. But anyhow, we have a lot to cover. We're going to get into it. This is the voice of the Christian resistance. And Style, you know, he's got his own program now. I was listening to him. He's on Saturdays, 1 wow. o'clock.
Okay? Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's been spunky. I mean, right? Okay. But now he went from spunky to spritey.
Uh-oh.
And so it's like this... soon to be a celebrity status, so you know it's a.
Well, I thought he already was.
Well, yes. Maybe he is. Oh.
And I only charge $15 for autographs too.
There you
so.
Go.
Humble.
All right, it's kind of changed his personality. He showed up here with an afro.
Uh huh.
And boy, does he look weird with an afro. I mean, well, anyhow, let's
Oh boy.
Let's get into the program today. We have a lot to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always going to start with prayer. And since I've got you here with me, you're a good prayer warrior.
Absolutely.
We have a lady named Kathy Hoff.
Kathy Hoff.
Yeah, and Kathy she's an elderly lady. Mm-hmm. She has dementia, and she has fallen and broken her hip, and she just had hip surgery. Mm-hmm. And she has a son that's with her, and we've been asked for friends to pray for her for a healing, but also, I don't know why, but they've also asked for protection for her, for Kathy, and her son Kevin. So there's something going on there. So you go ahead, and then I'm going to pray for Christine.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Amen. Father God, we just come to you this night. We certainly thank you, Father God, that you are sovereign. You are in control. We thank you for your word that tells us that men ought to always pray and not to faint. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord God, you hear our cry. You hear, Father God, our supplications, Lord God. And tonight, Lord God, we just want to lift up Kathy before you, Lord God. Lord God, she has sustained some injuries, Lord God, and she is in need of healing. And who else, Father God, to heal but you, God? We know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't know all of the circumstances around it, but we still know that you are our healer, Father God. And so we ask for you to intervene, Father God, and to touch her body, Lord God. We know that you are a compassionate God, Father God, and we come boldly to the throne of grace right now, asking for this help right now. We also ask, Lord God, there's been another request for protection, Father God. And certainly, God, we know that there's no one that can protect like you can, Father God. And so we pray that they would just come up under your wings, Father God, up under your shadow, Lord God, that you might protect them and keep them, both her and her son, whatever the circumstances is, Lord God, and deliver them, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Many years ago, did you hear that one? Okay. Hal has a prayer request, too, already. Hang on. I'll go ahead and I'll take Hal. Hal, bring him on up.
Okay, I'm right here.
Yep, you had a prayer request?
No, it was a prayer of praise. You guys prayed for my son-in-law, who was in ICU, and it didn't look good. And he made a complete turnaround, 180-degree recovery. And now he's laying there with an appetite.
Uh-oh.
And I can't wait to get up and get out of there. In fact, he made me promise that when he got out, I'd take him and my daughter to Mary Yoder's in Middlefield. That's an Amish buffet. And I said, boy, that's good. You need a good sign when you got an appetite. But before that, he couldn't even respond. He couldn't talk. He nothing. You know, it's like he was drifting in and out. But now he's got the energy and healing. You know, that had to come from God. That was a genuine miracle. Yes. And I want to thank everybody out there for praying for him.
Amen.
Well, yeah. How about taking me to Mary Yoder's? I was the one that told you should do this.
I take you to McDonald's instead. Okay?
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay, I'll get going. I just want to get that praise report.
All righty, very good. Speaking about McDonald's, I went to McDonald's and I ran into an old friend of mine, Pastor Hal, and I was there, that I hadn't seen in over 50 years. And here he was. We were talking, and we went to school together, and he married a very, very pretty lady. We went to school together. I went to school with her, too. Her name was Christine. Hmm. And anyhow, he asked me if I would pray for her and have all you folks out there remember what Hal just said. Mm-hmm. There's power in prayer.
Yes,
there's
it
a
is.
Lot of power in it. You know,
yes.
you believe.
Yes.
Because we've seen it happen time and time again. Mm-hmm. And so Christine has virtually, she's got no immune system or a very weak immune system, and she's having to take subcutaneous antibody treatments, and to boost her. She's got to take these shots, not in the arm, but in the belly, and that's I had to do that one time some years ago, and that's painful.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so he's asked for prayer.
Okay.
And let's pray that the good Lord would take her and heal her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Christine up and Bill.
Yes, Lord.
And ask, Father God, Lord, that you continue. 55 years, very few of our friends have been married that long. Mm. That you hedge around about that marriage and you touch Christine and you bless her in every area where she might receive that blessing. Lord the God, that she might receive a complete and total healing. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty, we want to get right into our scripture. You know, today we've been talking about, with all that's been happening, you know, they're here in New York City, America's largest city, has been taken over virtually. The communists are virtually bragging. They have taken over, they have captured America's largest city. Mm-hmm. And so they've turned it into a communist Muslim stronghold. And they're boasting that if they can do that with New York, mm-hmm. they can do it with every other city. Yeah. And so that's their plan, is to try to take over America. Now, mm-hmm. I believe there's, is it 56 Muslim states or is it 57 Muslim states? But anyhow, you'll notice that there aren't any Muslims immigrating to those states.
Right.
They're all coming to the western states. Okay. And so, and their goal is to try to bring all under Islam.
Right.
Now, the communists care less about Islam. Mm-hmm. The communists, they're antichrist. I mean, communism is antichrist teaching. Mm-hmm. It's right from the pit of hell. And But they look at Islam as a vehicle to ride, to use Sharia law to try to control people. Mm. And it's worked very well for them. You see virtually every major city in London, in England, rather, is taken over by, they all have Muslim mayors now.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do here. And you've seen just recently, you've had a number of these Somalis come out boasting about they're here and they're here to stay and they're not going to leave and, and they're going to take over America, whatever. So anyhow, you have that unholy alliance between communism and Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said this many, many times that they're saying that they have is that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so, again, their long-range goal is to eliminate Christians and Jews. And they say, first we'll get rid of the Saturday people, and then we'll get rid of the Sunday people, meaning Christians and Jews. Now, you know, we don't hate Muslims. Even we don't hate communists. We'd rather have them, we'd rather see them converted than to burn, right?
Right, absolutely. Yes.
And here, when you take a look at this, is one of the things you want to know is, right now in Iran is they're having major riots that their government is collapsing. I mean, it's imploding upon itself. And a lot of their mullahs are heading towards Russia. They're going to Moscow. Why? Well, a lot of those Muslims were trained. Those mullahs were trained by the KGB. And so they're a lot more actual communist than they are Muslims. And that's a reality a lot of people don't know, but what's happening there. So anyhow, one of their major, what they're counting on, and President Trump addressed this today, he gave a really good speech today to the GOP retreat. I listened to it. It was probably one of the best speeches he's ever given. I mean, it was really good. He got very personal, his own personal feelings in that.
Wow.
Yeah, but he said that if we don't win the midterms, the very first thing they're going to do is impeach me. You know, that's what they want to do. If we don't win the midterms, I can't really see anything other than a civil war breaking out in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're going to go after people like you and me. They're going to want to put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what they did with the J6ers, mm-hmm. and they didn't get it done. They had Biden stayed in office, or Kamala, we'd have been finished.
Goodness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with that, let's pick it up and let's take a good look, because there's a couple of passages in Scripture that really describe communism. And if we go to Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 10, let's take it a verse at a time. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Mm-hmm. How do we see that exactly happening here today in our country? We see what they called Jay-Zers or whatever they're called, mm-hmm. being enticed by the Communist Party. Gen Zers, that's what they're called. And so But a lot of people don't realize a lot of what's going on. You have, remember the anti-Israel protest where you have all of these Hezbollah people and then out there protesting? They're not what they seem to be. Okay?
No, paid protesters, many of them.
A lot of those younger people, yeah, they're paid. They're paid protesters. And so this whole idea about not owning anything, you don't have to own anything, you can, that there be no private ownership. To a lot of these younger people, they think this is something new, a new concept. They're absolutely clueless how this goes right back, you know, to the days of Noah. And so, anyhow, let's take a look at what the Word of God has to say about this here. Verse 11. Go ahead, Randy, read verse 11.
If they say, come with us, let us lay, wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit.
Now, when we take a look at communism, when we take a look at China, 90 million, they killed 90 million of their own people. Russia starved 60 million of their own people to death, okay? You look at what they did in North Korea, millions. Here, all communism has ever ended up being is death.
Yeah,
communism is about death. Now, here you have, you've heard about the book or the movie. I don't know if you ever saw Animal Farm.
Yes.
I did.
And with Animal Farm, it was interesting because, you know, it's talking about everybody being equal. And one of the ways that they're talking about how they're going to conquer is they're going to use equity, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But in that movie, if you watch it, everyone is equally, but they don't tell you that under communism, they're all equally impoverished. In fact, we're going to play a clip here about, you know, what was taking place in Venezuela. Venezuela, you know, did you know that Venezuela, not that long ago, was the fourth wealthiest country in the world?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it hadn't been that long ago, okay? And now, well, we're going to play the clip and hear from some of the people there from Venezuela what they have to say. But in that movie, which was had a really good message, where it says everyone is equal except for some are more equal than others. That's the mindset within the collective, which is the top 2% of the Communist Party. They own over 60% of the total wealth. Now think about that. You hear them complaining in America. You heard Bernie Sanders out there saying, we're going to tax the rich, we're going to tax the rich, we're going to... Bernie's one of the rich.
Right.
Yeah.
And here also you hear him, well, you just heard Tampon Tim Walz talking about this crime is being committed by white men. You know, so now, Tampon was a white man, but I've taken that away. I've declared him unwhite, okay? In fact, right now he's actually become, well, I don't know what you'd call him, neutral, because the Hispanics don't want him. We don't want him. The black folks don't want him.
The Somalis would take him.
You know, they don't want him now. So he said, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. One of the things that they, that communism pushes is abortion, the killing. They're all about death. It's all about death. We shall all find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Remember, Marx and Engels how they taught that it was morally justified in killing the bourgeoisie, that the common folks out there, proletariat they were referred to, were justified in killing and taking away the wealth of those that were the capitalist or the industrialist, because they made their wealth off the labor of the poor, the proletariat. But you see, they fail to tell you that it's those wealthy people that provided the jobs for those people, like today here in America, that provide the jobs where they can have food and buy homes and live. But the Bernie Sanders and the AOCs, you know, AOC, she just, you know, she came out, and I'll never forget how she said that if you don't want to work, you shouldn't have to work. That those that don't want to work shouldn't be forced to work. Those that do want to work should pay for and raise and provide for those that don't want to work.
Yeah.
And she said that's only fair. AOC, that's stupid.
Right.
Yes.
That's stupid. That's not what the Bible says.
That's right.
If a man doesn't work, he don't eat.
Mm-hmm. And so he goes, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in the lot among us. Let us all have one purse. That is the basic foundation of communism. Okay. Now, remember Margaret Thatcher, how she was... She used to say, socialism's fine until you run out of other people's money. And that's exactly what they've done. And with what's happening in Minnesota and here in Ohio, it looks like in Ohio it might even be worse, okay?
Yeah.
And if that's possible, then what's happening in Minnesota? USAID. The billions of dollars that were stolen. Now, in Somalia, the normal mode of business that the way did is what they're doing here is by stealing. That's just what's
their culture.
Yeah, what's accepted, and they don't understand out there why. We're making such a big fuss about this.
Yeah.
Now here, he says, my son, walk not thou in thy way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. It always comes back to killing. Now, you know what they said? Here, we can eliminate, and if you've listened to these people talk, it's Bill Gates is one of those. I was listening to him. You can eliminate disease. You can eliminate hunger by eliminating non-productive persons. And remember Jacques Cousteau?
Yes.
Now, Jacques Cousteau had one of his mindset was that to eliminate hunger, that we must consider that as they do in the wild, that people are a great source of protein. In the wild, the strong eat the weak. And that's if we did that, we would not have any hunger. And, of course, Jacques Cousteau was considered a great mind to those on the left. And so he also talks about you can eliminate by eliminating the elderly, the sickly, and Christians and Jews. He goes on to say here, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and they that wait for their own blood, they lurk privately for their own lives. You know, they'll win. It comes the time within the collective they turn on each other.
Yeah.
Betrayal is something within the collective, within communism, that is looked at as with a very positive. You can betray someone with status within the collective and take them down. That adds to your status within the collective.
Yeah.
And which, when we're talking about a collective, I'm talking the Democratic Communist Party today.
Mm-hmm.
They will turn on each other, and as we've seen them do that throughout the years. But mostly, I mean, they'll hold tight. They go in one, and they listen to their leaders. But when the opportunity comes amongst someone in a high ranking to betray another, they'll take that advantage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got... To be a Democrat today, you can't have any morals.
That's right.
You've got to be totally corrupted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As the saying goes, there's no honor among thieves.
Yeah.
Right.
So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof.
Mm.
And with that, we're going to go, we're going to be taking a listen to a clip here. You won't hear this at NBC, ABC, CBS, none of the so-called mainstream media. You're not hearing from the actual people there who about Maduro and the actual folks in who had to live in Venezuela. We're going to hear from some of them how bad things were. And remember, at one point, this was the fourth wealthiest country in the world until the communists took over. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and take her away.
Ah, Venezuela. People are criticizing Trump for what he did in Venezuela. They say he bombed and kidnapped our president. No. Let me be clear. That man was never our president. He's a dictator. We didn't vote for him. Our elections were stolen. And when we protested, our kids were sent to prison. Where were all of you then? Where were all of you, liberals? Where were all of you? Where were all of you? You said nothing. You did nothing. But now you suddenly care about international law?
Hey, people need to stop and listen to what Venezuelans are saying. They just want freedom. Listen to this.
We don't care about the oil, that if Trump is going to get it. We don't care about that. We don't care because Russia and Cuba has been taking it anyway. All we care is that we have hope again. More people are not going to die. The students has hope again. And that's what we care. My grandmother, she passed away last year because she didn't have enough medicine to survive. We didn't have food enough. You can go to Venezuela and then you can spend like 10 days there and see how it feels to, you have to eat food from the trash. You have no gas. You have to wait 2 weeks to get a half tank of the gas. You have no meat, you have no chicken, you have nothing to eat, nothing. Just have empathy and be happy for Venezuela and all the people that you know from Venezuela, because now we have hope again.
Yeah.
And we're so happy that this is happening. Little by little, obviously, we know that it's not going to happen right away. But now it's one step.
Honestly, I didn't even think about this. Like, I don't even know what this means for Venezuela. Like, I'm so scared they're going to come and just steal our oil and just make it worse than what it's already been for the past 27 years.
So you probably saw some Democrats, including the new mayor of New York, Zoran Mandani, literally declare that what Trump did on Saturday morning was illegal. What do you think of that?
Again, if people don't live through it, they won't know how desperate us Venezuelans are for a change. I know they're talking about Trump only wanting the oil, but everybody's there for the oil. Russia, Iran, everybody's there for the oil already, China. So if Trump needs the oil to give us freedom, then that's a price we're willing to pay just so that we have our freedom and make a change. In 26 years, nobody has done anything for our country except for Trump. So if that's a price that he's the only one that has made an action on it, and he's the only one that has delivered his promise. So if that's the price we need to pay for it, then that's okay. Venezuela has a lot of other resources. It's not just oil. We have minerals. We have so many other things that once our country is better, then we, as Maria Corina always say, we will be an amazing country. We just need that change and somebody to help us for it.
Amen.
Hi there.
Are you an American or other first worlder with democracy privilege who's all of a sudden very, very concerned about the United States taking the oil of Venezuela? Well, let me tell you something. Fear not, because Iran and Cuba have been receiving free Venezuelan oil for decades in exchange of protecting the dictator that has been exiling, killing us, and disappearing us for 26 years. So please, you should be more concerned about the dictator that is killing us, exiling us, and disappearing us than the United States taking our oil. We are not concerned about that. So why are you concerned about that? Be concerned about the imperial powers of Iran and Russia who are already in Venezuela. Thank you.
These people from Venezuela, many of them have told me if this really works, we will go back to our country. We want to really rebuild our country and our nation after 26 years. We're all waiting for this moment. We were praying for this moment that something will happen in their countries sooner or later because we have seen their struggles. They left their family. Their dreams were shattered.
Venezuela. Ah, Venezuela. People are criticizing Trump for what he did in Venezuela. They say he bombed and kidnapped our president. No. Let me be clear. That man was never our president. He's
right there.
We didn't vote for him. Our elections were stolen.
Well, we don't need to. First of all, let me go back up. We don't need Venezuela's oil. We have plenty of oil in the United States. What we're not going to allow is for the oil industry in Venezuela to be controlled by adversaries of the United States. You have to understand, why does China need their oil? Why does Russia need their oil? Why does Iran need their oil? They're not even in this continent. This is the Western Hemisphere. This is where we live. And we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be a base of operation for adversaries, competitors, and rivals of the United States.
Have specific oil companies.
We also want to see that oil and the proceeds from it. Hold on. We want to see the oil proceeds of that country benefit the people of Venezuela. Why have 8 million people left Venezuela? 8 million, the single largest mass migration probably in modern history, left Venezuela since 2014 because all the wealth of that country was stolen to the benefit of Maduro and his cronies in the regime, but not to the benefit of people of Venezuela. You know how destabilizing 8 million migrants is? The number one fear that Brazil has, that Colombia has, that all these countries in the region have about what's happening in Venezuela and our involvement is they're afraid of another mass migration event. That's what they fear. This is deeply destabilizing stuff. It's not going to continue to happen. They are not going to come from outside of our hemisphere, destabilize our region in our own backyard, and us have to pay the price for it, not under President Trump.
I mean, bro, there's nothing else to say. That's just common sense. And I'm going to leave you with this right here. This is Karen Jean-Pierre. This is the Biden administration. God bless you and your family. Catch you on the next one.
So I'll quickly turn to Venezuela, where Maduro once again demonstrated his complete disregard for democratic norms and proceeded with his illegitimate inauguration. As President Biden emphasized during his meeting with President-elect Edmundo González Urrutia on Monday, January 6, we believe that it is essential that the will of the Venezuelan people is respected. In coordination with our partners, we've given Maduro and his representatives every opportunity to restore democracy, but they haven't. So today we are building on all of our previous actions and taking further major actions. We announced new sanctions on key Maduro-aligned officials as a part of our efforts to hold them accountable, and we imposed more visa restrictions totaling nearly 2,000 individuals. We also increased the reward amount to $25 million for Nicolas Maduro and his so-called Minister of Interior as part of the Department of State's Narcotics Rewards Program, only the second and third to have the largest amount allowed. It is important to note that we are taking these actions alongside similar actions taken by Canada, the European Union, the United Kingdom, to demonstrate a message of solidarity with the Venezuelan people and further elevate international efforts to maintain pressure on Maduro and his representatives. Today, Maduro finds himself more alone than ever, with few friends in the region and in the world and around the world.
All right, now it's an interesting thing, right? Now you just heard that was Biden's spokesperson, whether say that he had put a $25 million bounty on Maduro. Now, when you put a bounty on someone, what is the purpose? What you put a body on there to do what?
Encourage others that might have the ability to get them.
Right, you know, to remove him.
Apprehend him, yeah.
The whole point. Now, here is the interesting thing. You had Chuckie Schumer. We had clips of Chuckie Schumer. Biden, you had all of these people, the same Democrats today, that were saying how Maduro has to go. Now, there's something also happening over there. There's another reason why they want Maduro to go. Mm-hmm. Venezuela was also the capital of election fraud.
That's right.
They were exporting election fraud all over the country. They were working. And guess who was involved with that election fraud up to their eyeballs? Joey Biden, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, up to their eyeballs involved. And so that's another reason why they wanted him gone. Mm-hmm. They wanted now. But all of a sudden here comes Donald Trump, and Trump removes him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, well, my gosh, all we hear about is how quick, what a perfect operation military. I mean, it was just absolutely flawless, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to be, there's... And I thought, there's something that's just not right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so here...
More to it.
We're looking, yeah, there's a lot more to it, because here, to get Maduro, and Maduro wasn't necessarily who you thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was out there. He was like a puppet. He was put in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was... There's a number of people and intelligence that think that Maduro was kept there, and he was allowed to do what he was doing,
mm-hmm.
but the Cuban intelligence agents held him captive, virtually captive.
Yeah.
Now, so of course we have some intelligence to that. This says that.
Yeah.
Now here. And maybe remember, Trump admitted that he had spoken to Maduro.
Right.
Do you think it's possible that Maduro might have cut the deal with Trump? Get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it look good. Right. And here, I'll spill the beans. I'll give you all of them. I'll give you Hillary. I'll give you Obama. I'll give you Biden. I'll give you Mary Garland, I'll give you all of the corrupt. That could be a very good possibility.
Wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Right, no.
Okay. So we're going to take, in fact, we're going to hear a clip talk something about that here in a little while. Yesterday, we were talking about Trump. He was really expressing himself. He went right off script. He said, forget the script. And he just went off script, and he really told his personal feelings. And one of the things he emphasized again was that how that election was rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yesterday, that was today I meant. But anyhow, how it was so rigged. And it was a good thing, because on C-SPAN today, you had this woman author. I'm not going to even name her book, because... But what she did is she came on there and she talked about January 6th, about what took place, and she very conveniently left out a lot of details. For example, she was talking about how Nancy Pelosi, after the riot started, and of course we know that was a false flag operation. We know that the whole situation, the Democrats did all of this.
Yeah,
you had something like I believe they figured out there was like 170 FBI agents involved in that radical. And so, but anyhow, this woman said yes, that she did. Nancy Pelosi did call, request the National Guard. But you see, what she forgot to tell you is that she refused the National Guard until the riotings were taking place, And then,
right.
And then she asked the Pentagon to send the National Guard in. And of course, who did you have over at the Pentagon? Milley. Mm-hmm. And is Milley? Do you think he's the guy that told that committed high treason,
mm-hmm.
and told the Red Chinese that he would let them know whatever Trump's plans were. You know, if it came to war plans against China, he would let them know.
Mm-hmm.
That's called treason.
Yeah.
And Milley's still afraid. And I hope they finally get this guy, yeah. Okay?
Yes.
And so here, Trump went in and to more detail on the ways they rigged that election. And, mm-hmm. and of course, we're not going to let them get away with it. We're going to keep, because they keep telling you, and I hear it on Spectrum One, false accusations. Trump made false accusations. No. That election was rigged, and anyone and everyone at NBC, ABC, mm-hmm. Spectrum News, everyone there that says that that election was not rigged is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them.
Right.
That's right.
And so here, then he went into the voter ID. And he said that, you know, and he told what we all know. The only reason that the Democrats don't want voter ID is because they want to rig the election because of election fraud. We know that. There's no other reason in the world would you would not want voter ID. Now, mm-hmm. we're the only country right now that still has mail-in ballots. All the rest quit the mail-in ballots, okay? Why? That's the best way in the world to rig the election, false, phony mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
Remember what we told you about there? Everything we said in Georgia, 375,000, they found ballots that were mailed in that had no signatures on them. Hmm. Without a signature, it's invalid.
Yeah.
And that there alone would have put Trump way, way over the top. Okay. Mm-hmm. But... of course, you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, CBS, just like the clip we just played.
Yeah.
He talked about Trinde Aragua,
mm-hmm.
How they were sent here, and how the Democrats, you know, it's an interesting thing. Now, remember, when the Democrats wanted to take down Maduro, it was fine, but now since... Mm-hmm. Trump wants to do it, they immediately go to the side of Maduro.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, only Trump could get the Democrats to come out and support drug dealers, dictators. They support Trinidad Aragua, the murderers. But Trump made a very, very good point. And that is about midterms, and we can't say enough about midterms.
That's right. That's right.
Folks out there, I'm going to tell you, here, if only 20% of so-called Christians show up for midterms,
mm-hmm.
that's, you've got that right to do it. But just say and admit that you're stupid.
Mm.
I mean, if you tell me that you're not going to go out and vote, that I'm going to say, well, that's all right, but you're stupid. Because, you see,
yeah.
when you don't vote, you vote.
You do.
Yes.
Right, absolutely.
That's right, absolutely. Because your vote, you're voting for the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, if you do this, mm-hmm. you deserve all the bad things that can happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow, and that's what the Communist Party,
yeah.
that's what the Democrats, that's what they're counting on.
That's right.
They're counting on that they're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
that the ignorant and apathetic are going to stay home.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'm going to tell you, if I know that you've done that, I'm not going to be nice. All right? Okay. And so here he also talked about the tariffs there in France where his conversation with the French president, Trump laid it out to him very clearly. And here the tariffs have been bringing in billions and hundreds of billions of dollars of coming into our country. He talked about the insurance companies and under Obamacare. Did you know? Let me ask you this. Maybe even ask Stiles, because he, since he's got his own program, he thinks he knows everything.
Yeah.
And so, Stiles, how many members of the Democratic Party, House and Senate, are on have Obamacare?
I couldn't tell you.
I can tell you, not one.
Not one. I was going
to say, that seems like a very far reach that any of them would be on Obamacare.
Yeah, right. No. But they want that. That's what they demand and push, right? The insurance companies, how much higher under Obamacare were the profits under Obamacare for the insurance companies, the health care carrier?
Quite a bit.
How about 1,700%? They want, so if the insurance is getting rich, the insurance companies off Obamacare,
right.
Who's not getting rich? Who's getting poorer?
Those that really need it.
Those that are paying for it.
Yes.
That's us.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That was us, yeah. And so he also talked about how, take a look at D.C. Now what a difference it is since he sent in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. You can go out. People, the restaurants are open. People can walk the streets at night. It's a whole different atmosphere there. Mm. He really went into about this. Because the Democrats, now think about this, they're still trying to push, they're still pushing where they want so-called transgender men to be able to, these men that think they're women are having women days, to compete in women's sports. And Trump gave a list of situations, you know, where, why that shouldn't happen. Right. I mean... To us, common sense is a good thing. To a Democrat, common sense is the enemy.
Yeah.
And so those nasty old women on The View, I mean, there's some nasty old women on that View. They're all in favor of men who think they're women competing in women's sports. They don't care if these young women get beat up and get hurt. And, no, they don't. And that's because that's just what the way Democrats are. And so, anyhow, those are some of the things that Trump covered. And, I mean, he really gave a very, very interesting talk today. And so we better let Lisa see. She's got that. She wants an article. She wants it. She wants it bad.
Goodness.
Go on, Lisa.
Okay. Now, this is by Maria Herrera on the 4th of this month, and it says, as small pro-Maduro demonstrations emerged in cities such as Mexico City and San Juan, Puerto Rico, they were met by immediate and vocal counter-protests from Venezuelan exiles who challenged both the legitimacy and the composition of those rallies following the U.S. operation that resulted in the capture of Nicolas Maduro. A young Venezuelan tells a Mexican who is defending Nicolas Maduro, millions of Venezuelans are working abroad, working as waiters, bartenders, and other crap, when they are actually doctors, college graduates, supporting their families from afar. Venezuelan expatriates on the ground insist that none of the individuals protesting against the U.S. action were Venezuelan citizens. Instead, they argue, the demonstrations were largely made up of local activists affiliated with leftist or communist political movements in their own countries, expressing ideological alignment rather than representing the views of the Venezuelans. In Puerto Rico, a video widely shared on social media shows two Venezuelan citizens confronting a pro-Maduro group, accusing participants of falsely claiming Venezuelan identity. In the footage, the Venezuelans assert that the demonstrators are Puerto Rican activists with no direct experience of life under Venezuela's socialist system, saying they do not know what they are talking about. And at the same time, scenes across the world told a sharply different story. Venezuelans in exile poured into streets and public squares in multiple countries, waving Venezuelan flags, chanting, dancing, celebrating, and what may be described as the liberation of their country. Videos show crowds rejoicing, embracing, and openly thanking the United States for the operation that ended Maduro's rule.
All right, you know, what I saw, too, there in Florida, where you had that large population of Venezuelans, here they had rent a mob. They had a rent a mob of supporters of Maduro. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, they got caught. I mean, they really got caught. And mm-hmm. that's what they're doing. They got outed.
Yeah.
You have some articles there.
Yeah, they were also talking about how fast the signs were made and how that had to be strategically.
Yeah, they had, yeah.
Yeah. That's just crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, this is reckless misconduct. Pete Hegseth takes action against U.S. senator urging military to refuse illegal orders. So this is about Mark Kelly and the Seditious Six. It says, only a few weeks ago, Senator Mark Kelly, a Democrat from Arizona, and several other members of Congress assembled a video stunt that told active members of the U.S. military not to obey illegal orders. It says, coming at a time when President Trump was active in international issues, addressing illegal immigration, fighting crime, and much more, the implication was unmistakable. Yet they were unable to identify any such illegal orders. Investigations were launched immediately, as the comments were seen by many as undermining America's military chain of command under Commander-in-Chief Trump. Now the consequences are appearing. It says, and now the status of their cases, according to a statement from War Secretary Pete Hegseth. 6 weeks ago, Senator Mark Kelly and five other members of Congress released a reckless and seditious video that was clearly intended to undermine good order and military discipline. As a retired Navy captain who is still receiving a military pension, Captain Kelly knows he is still accountable to military justice, Hegseth said. And the Department of War and the American people expect justice. Therefore, in response to Senator Mark Kelly's seditious statements and his pattern of reckless misconduct, the U.S. Department of War is taking administrative action against Captain Mark Kelly. It says he said the department has initiated retirement grade determination proceedings under 10 U.S.C. 1370. With reduction in his retired grade resulting in a corresponding reduction in retired pay. To ensure this action, the Secretary of War has also issued a formal letter of censure which outlines the totality of Captain, for now, Kelly's reckless misconduct. This censure in a necessary process step and will be placed in Captain Kelly's official and permanent military file.
Well, you know, I'm hoping, too, that they go after Milley. Because
yes.
What he did, just, you know,
yeah,
unbelievable what he did. And there were two, if you remember, two colonels. They were twin brothers.
Yeah.
Also, these two, I mean, they committed treason.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were, you know, because we had our intelligence agency weaponized against the people, they got away with this stuff. And I'm hoping that they can still go because, see, Milley, you know, he's going to be, he's eligible. And he's already come out and said he's afraid he will be court-martialed, okay?
He should be.
And he should be court-martialed. Yeah. And I'm not sure I know they take away your commission, I think, altogether if you get court-martialed in that case. But, well, we'll see what happens, okay? We're coming up to a break, and when we come back from the break, we have a whole lot more to go. I mean, a whole lot more to go yet. Lisa's got another article, folks. She's been waiting and waiting. She's really wanting to do it, right?
Thank you.
Okay, Style, do the count. 877-6-5-4-3-2. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.